Welcome to the Indianola First Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. Our prayer is that this message will inspire you, encourage you, and launch you into life-changing action.
This morning I want to talk to you, or start by telling you something my brother Rob has shared a few times with me. It's a story about our dad. Several months after my dad had gone home to be with the Lord, my brother was working in a refrigeration equipment room. And my brother owns his own refrigeration repair business, just like my dad did. And some of my dad's customers hadn't heard that he had passed away, and so they were still calling in and to my mom and trying to set up service calls. And my brother, in trying to honor my dad and tried to take care of some of his customers. And so he would take some of those calls, he'd drive an hour and a half or more from where he lived, and he would go do those calls just to. Again, like I said, honor my dad. And on one of these service calls, he ended up being in a grocery store. So he was in one of these back rooms at a grocery store, and full of equipment. It was the kind of place that nobody goes into. You guys probably know what I'm talking about. Only go in there when something needs to be fixed. And he was walking through, and he was looking at the compressor units, and he saw this one. And it had fingerprints all over it in the dust. And he knew my dad had worked on that unit. He could see it. There, clear as day, he had left his mark on that machine. He said it felt eerie at first, but then comforting, because even though dad was gone, he had left, like I said, his mark, not in the dust of that place, but it made him think, that he left a spiritual mark on his family and his friends. And it was spiritual, eternal even. Because dad didn't point his family to himself, he pointed us to Jesus Christ. My brother and I knew our dad before he came to Christ, before he got saved. And my brother remembers those years even better than I do, because he's older. How many are thankful for older siblings? You have an older sibling? I mean, thank God for older siblings. They take all the mistakes of your parents, right? So the second child, the middle child, doesn't have to go through all those. Not that my parents made mistakes. Sorry, Mom, if she's watching. I got to be careful what I say. Older siblings, they do everything stupid, right? So that if you're watching, you won't do the same stupid things. And if my brother is watching, yes, that was you. No, I'm just kidding. My dad, again, didn't point his family to himself. He pointed to Jesus. And we saw him change, my brother and I. We saw him change from a religious attender, church attender, into a born-again, Bible-believing man of God. We saw alcohol leave. We witnessed firsthand his temperament soften. My dad was a hard guy when we were younger, but he was definitely softer before he passed away, and he passed away young at 62, as most of you know. We saw the family prayer and commitment to the church, and how that changed, and even how he changed his giving habits, and how he was obedient to the Lord, and in everything that the Word of God said that he would read. I was privy to getting his Bible after he passed away, and that thing is so marked up and highlighted and circled and little notes on the side saying, I need to work on this and work on that. It's just amazing. And I've heard it said that these kinds of disciplines, you know, Bible reading, prayer, worship and all those things that we do, even giving, that they're better caught than taught. And I couldn't agree more. I prayed the sinner's prayer at 14 years old, and I was a good kid, failed miserably, and then received Christ in my second year of college and never turned my back on the Lord again. But you have to understand the mark that my dad made on me, just watching him change, watching his personal transformation, that played a huge part in my story. It's kind of the unspoken part of my story, because he had blazed a trail. I had seen someone live out that change. Saw it before my eyes. And it was so much easier to walk the walk when I'd seen my dad walk it. He left his mark on me. And leaving a mark, or maybe a better way of saying this is leaving a legacy, is exactly what Peter is talking about in the scripture we're going to cover today. Leaving a legacy. And let me be clear. Peter doesn't teach us to leave a legacy that points back to us. Clearly, he teaches that the legacy we should hope to leave is a legacy that points to Jesus. These are Peter's final words to the church, and they remind us that the only lasting mark or legacy any of us can leave is the one that leads to the Savior. So the question isn't, will people remember me and all that I've accomplished? I had the world by the tail. I was successful. I did all these great things. I accomplished so much. There's buildings named after me. Someone said once, fools' names and faces can always be found on public places, which, not saying everybody who's got a building named after him is a fool, but that's not worth going after, is it? It's not, will people remember me and all that I've accomplished? It should be, will they see Jesus through how I live my life? Will my life lived out attract them to Jesus Christ? That's the question we should ask. That's the kind of legacy that Peter was talking about. We've been in this series covering 1 and 2 Peter for 9 weeks now, and this morning we wrap it all up with what mattered most in Peter's mind. What mattered most for believers to hear, for us to hear. And number one, in this last portion of the scripture in 2 Peter 3:14, which we're going to read in a second, really the point is reflect his purity, reflect his purity. Verse 14, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Holiness is intentional. Turn to your neighbor and say, holiness is intentional. It's a pursuit. It's a choice that you make every single day. We don't work for salvation, we work from salvation. Right? When Peter says, make every effort to be found blameless, spotless, and at peace with him, he's reminding us that holiness is not accidental. Nobody accidentally drifts into purity. Have you noticed that? How many know where you drift? The other way, right? It's exactly right. And when Jesus saves us, he didn't just wash away our past. He gave us a new identity. His own righteousness was placed upon us. So purity isn't about personally achieving perfection. It's about reflecting his perfection. You understand what I'm talking about this morning? It's not about your ability to be perfect. It's about reflecting the perfection that lives inside of you. That turns legalism on its head, and we all of a sudden can see very clearly that this life, this Christian life, is not about following a list of rules. It's just about living for Jesus and falling in love with him and letting that reflect through you. We are the product of what we focus on, church. If you focus on this world, you will reflect its values. If you focus on your flesh, you will reflect its desires. But if you focus on Christ and his word, you will reflect his purity. Peter is saying we need to let our lives be mirrors that show people what Jesus looks like. Have you ever thought about water filters? They don't, create clean water, if you think about it. A water filter just removes what doesn't belong. That's what living holy or reflecting his purity is. His purity is already in you because of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has made his temple within you. But we make every effort, as Peter says, by letting him filter out those things that don't belong. Things like bitterness, lust, anger, pride, same-sex attractions, addictions, lying, and gossiping. We let the Holy Spirit filter those things out. And you have been made pure by the blood of Christ. There's just some Holy Spirit filtering that needs to be done yet. And we all know that water filters don't just work once. They continually work to remove that which doesn't belong so that we can drink pure water, right? And that's what the Holy Spirit does with us. He continually reveals the things that don't belong that are in our lives. As we choose to remove those things, we live reflecting the truth of Jesus Christ to everyone we come in contact with. Our personal holiness isn't just for us, by the way. It's the foundation for leaving a legacy. A Christ-centered legacy that points to those around us. Points Jesus to those around us. So we have to reflect His purity. Reflect His purity. Represent His truth. That's point two. 2 Peter 3:15-17. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all of his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Verse 17, therefore, dear brothers, or dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. He's not talking about the world here. He's talking to believers. And did you hear the warning he gives? Be on guard so that you may not be carried away and fall from your secure position. Again, talking to believers. Who's a believer? Somebody who follows Jesus Christ, who not just flippantly says, well, I believe maybe there's a God. That's not a believer. A believer is someone who's sold out and they're following Jesus. They're disciplined followers of Jesus, right? Anybody out there this morning? Yeah. Right? Disciplined followers of Jesus. That's who he's talking to. He's talking to believers. So these are people who are saved, people who know the Lord, people who are part of the church. So let me just say that I'm not sorry to those who may believe in the doctrine of eternal security, because clearly, according to Scripture, a believer can drift away and fall from their position in Christ. We just read it. Paul says, be forewarned, be on guard, because you don't want to fall away. You want to fall from your secure position. Not because the devil snatches them away, by the way, not because someone else pushes them out, but because they themselves allow themselves to be carried away by false teaching, wrong voices, and a heart that over time wants what it wants and slowly drifts from the truth. How many know your heart just wants what it wants? Have you noticed that in life? Even the bad stuff, it just wants what it wants. How do you change that? Spend more time with God. Spend more time in His Word. Spend more time in prayer. Spend more time in His presence. Spend more time around people who are of like faith. That's how you change that. And over time, it changes. It will change it. This is why representing Christ and His truth absolutely matters. If we don't stand firm in the truth, we leave ourselves vulnerable to being carried away by false teachings. But when we faithfully represent Jesus and His Word, it not only proclaims the gospel to others, it guards our own hearts against the spiritual drifting. That being carried away, as Peter calls it. He says the Lord's patience means salvation. Jesus hasn't returned yet because he's given the world some more time to repent. So we must represent him clearly, faithfully, accurately, because souls depend on it, church. You know, I walked in here this morning, and I turned around a few times during service while we were singing, and I was just like, praise the Lord. This place is fairly full. I know our parking lot's full, but it's pretty full in here, and everyone's praising God and singing out, and I could hear you, and it was awesome. I'm going, that is so, so amazing, so wonderful. There's a lot of churches that are half empty or more than half empty this morning. So I'm thankful for that. But guess what? Look around. We still got seats. We still got seats, don't we? How many see them? They're empty. Doesn't mean we don't have a great church. It just means there's more work to be done. Do you know that in Indianola, there's a number of great churches, Bible-believing churches, Bible-preaching churches. I pray with some of those pastors monthly. I love those guys. They're great people. But you know what? We don't fight over people usually, because this is the truth. 80% of the people around Indianola do not attend church anywhere, ever. They don't even claim. They claim they don't even have a church. They never go. So the people that are in church, the 20%, that would include everyone, even the once in a great whiles, even the creasters. You guys like that term, don't you, creasters? Christmas and Easter, if you don't know what that is. 20%. There's work to be done. That's my point. There's work to be done. We are supposed to represent His truth. He says, Peter says, the Lord's patience means salvation. He hasn't returned yet because He's given the world more time to repent. We have to represent. Paul said it to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul. I love how Peter quotes Paul and talks about Paul, and it's like they're brothers. They were completely different people, but they're brothers in Christ. And 1 Corinthians 7:23, and Paul wrote that book, and he says to the Corinthians, you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. You're bought at a price. You don't belong to you anymore. You don't belong to you anymore. You don't belong to you anymore. You're His. You're His possession. You're His representative. You're His voice on this earth. This is why Paul calls believers Christ ambassadors. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, he says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making His appeal through us. What does that word ambassador mean? I'm so glad you asked. One who carries another's message. One who represents another's authority. And one who reflects another's character. So as ambassadors of Christ, we are to carry one another's, or we are to carry His message, we are to represent His authority, and we are to reflect His character, not our own. Not our own. We have died and He lives through us. It's Him. We have a responsibility to speak His truth. We are responsible to represent His good news of salvation, not just when we are in a good mood, but always. Are we living up to the responsibility to always representing His truth? How are you representing today? I'm going to really regret this message because I'm going to give my wife full permission, not that I have to give her permission, but I'm just going to remind her and tell her and say, go for it. I won't get mad at you, I promise. But if I'm not out there in the world, outside these four walls, in the store, in a restaurant, wherever I'm at, maybe in the church foyer, maybe in the church office sometimes, right? If I'm in there and I'm not being a good representative of Christ, please tell me, Alyssa. Is she in here today? I can see her. Oh, there she is. Everyone's pointing at her. You all know where she sits. You don't... I give you permission to say, how are you representing right now? What if we all said that to one another? How are you representing right now? Is what you're doing right now and how you're acting right now and what you're saying right now and the attitude you're saying with, are you representing Jesus in this moment? Are you representing His truth? Or are you just a nice picture of who you are in here? That's a constant thing. How many have ever failed in this? Wow. Like maybe a third of you. Two-thirds of you are perfect individuals. I mean, I should just sit down and let you come up and preach because you got it all together, right? You know it all. No, you just don't like voting. We're to represent. Not just when we're in the mood, not just on Sunday mornings, not just on Wednesday nights, not just when we're thinking about church, all the time. We're supposed to represent His truth. And who He is. And we should never twist the scriptures to line up with the culture. Just because culture may shift. We don't massage the scriptures just so the message becomes more inclusive. The message is the message, folks. It's his message. It's not ours. We don't get to manipulate it and pick little parts out of it and say what we want to these people and say what we want to these people and try to make everybody happy. Good luck with that. We should never twist those scriptures. Christ's truth, it brings comfort for sure, but it's not a message that's very comfortable to most people. It's not a message of convenience that shapeshifts to make ourselves or others feel less convicted about sin. Well, let's just focus on love, 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 love. God is love, absolutely right. But if we're representatives of his, ambassadors of his truth, guess what? We got to preach God's love. And we do have to talk about God's wrath. Well, why would I want to do that? Do you want to preach a half gospel? I mean, it's the whole thing, right? We have to represent his truth, all of it. And representing it's not optional. It's not a choice we get to make. His true followers will always represent his truth. They take it on as a personal responsibility, church, to represent to everyone they come in contact with. Well, that means I'd like to have to be on all the time. Yep. But I'm not the pastor of the church. You're a missionary wherever you go. You're an ambassador of Christ wherever you go. Some people don't want to be pastors or ministers be full-time and have that title because they don't want to live in a glass house where everybody can see everything they do. Guess what? If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, you automatically should be living in a glass house in your mind. You should know that everybody's watching. You should be an ambassador of Christ. You know, as the holiday season approaches, there are a lot more delivery men and women out there in their FedEx trucks and UPS trucks and those cool Amazon Prime vans that aren't that cool. And I'm thankful for all of them. I love it. How many like it when the delivery truck pulls up to your house? I love that. It's like Christmas, right? Like, what is he going to bring me today? It also means every time a truck pulls up, it's less shopping and less trips to the store I have to go on, so I'm fine with that. But what if one of those drivers takes the package that he's delivering to your house and he brings it up to your front door and then he sits on your front steps and he just opens it? I mean, after all, he may want to change or rearrange it, right? The driver may even decide that they don't like what's inside the box and they just take it back to their truck. But that doesn't happen, does it? Because of door cams. No, I'm just kidding. It just doesn't happen. The delivery person's job is to deliver what they've been given. They are to deliver it safely, accurately, and to the right destination. And that's what it means to represent Christ's truth and to be his ambassador. We don't tamper with the message. We don't pick which parts we like and only deliver those. We don't edit it. We don't soften it. We just deliver the gospel exactly in the way that the King delivered it to us, the King. And that message never conflicts with the Bible, by the way. You don't ever have to wonder, I wonder if what I'm saying is truth. Look in the Word of God. It'll never conflict. The Holy Spirit will not give you words that conflict with the Bible. Ever. When we faithfully represent Christ's truth, we leave a legacy, a Christ-centered legacy that resists deception and points others to the unchanging Word of God. So yeah, we got to reflect his purity. We need to represent his truth. And my final point is this. It's probably one of the most important ones. We have to radiate his grace. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Peter's command here is simple, yet it's powerful. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice the word grow. Grow implies, at least here, some intentionality. Grace and knowledge are not static. They don't just sit there. They're not a one-time experience that you had back when you first got saved and were excited about everything that had to do with God, everything to do with Christ, and this new life that you entered into. Grace and knowledge are things that must be pursued your whole life. You keep pursuing it. You keep growing in grace and growing in knowledge. Mercy is often defined as not getting what you deserve. Grace, on the other hand, is getting what you don't deserve. Grace refers to the blessing we receive in this life and the presence of God we experience as we live for Him. Things we cannot earn. You can't earn His presence. You can't earn what He gives you in blessings every single day. We don't deserve them. Can't earn them, but He pours out His grace on us over and over and over and over again. Grace is really unmerited favor. That's what it is. That's Christianity defines it that way all the time. Unmerited favor. Favor that I receive from God that I didn't deserve, that I didn't earn, that I don't just get to have, but you get to have it. It's unbelievable. Close your eyes, all of you, for just 1 second. This isn't the closing prayer. Close, but not it. Think about all the blessings that you've experienced today already. Just think for a second. Some of you are like, I can't think of one. You woke up. You breathed. I think you woke up warm. You had food available to you. You had gas to put in your car and drive to church where you could be with like-minded believers, be with your family, your church family. If you didn't have gas to put in your car, you didn't have a car, you got a ride. If you didn't get a ride, you rode your bike. Or you had two legs to walk. The blessings are endless if you start thinking about them. They're endless. And we could go on and on and on with that. But think of all the blessings. That's grace, unmerited favor. God just pouring out on you His love and His provision, His forgiveness. How many did something yesterday that you regretted when you thought about it today, and maybe when you were up early this morning, you prayed about it, asked God to forgive you, and He just wiped it clean? I posted something this morning early. His mercies are new every morning. I'm thankful for that. Man, if you have a terrible day and you blow it 10 times over, go to bed. Wake up. It's a new day. His mercies are new every morning. Grace just keeps being poured out and poured out and poured out into our lives. And folks, we take it for granted. We need to be thankful. And we got to radiate that grace. Letting the undeserved, unmerited favor and kindness that He pours out on us flow through our lives to everyone we come in contact with. So just as He's graced us with so much, we get to be a picture of that to everybody else. Not bragging about what He's done for us, but being that for other people. How can I encourage you today? How can I lift you up today? How can I help you today? How can I serve you today? How can I be there for you today? Grace should never be reduced to a mere theological concept. It goes way beyond that. As our lives intertwine with others, as they see us forgiving those who've hurt us, helping those who are in need, encouraging those who are discouraged, and serving those around us with a loving heart, they will see grace and it's imparted to them. They want that. And you are showing them who God is. You're living out loud, as they say. People should feel Jesus when you walk in the room. You know, that's something that always convicts me, because I'm like, when I walk in the room, are people like, oh boy, let's all start walking on eggshells? Or do you bring Jesus into the room? I mean, I do sometimes. But all the time, I can't admit that. I can't say that. Not even close. I'm just being transparent. A lot of things annoy me. You get riled up, right? You get a little burr under your saddle. He'd kind of cranky. Christmas with the cranks, right? He'd kind of irritated with everything and everybody and people. He'd owly. Got any old grumpy men in here? You're not even old yet. Man, 30 years, how grumpy are you going to be? I mean, this is what I'm talking about. Like, okay, stop and remember what God has done for you, the grace he's poured out on you, and then let it change your demeanor so that you can pour out grace to others. Because we exist to be a picture of Jesus, right? To everybody. People should feel Jesus when you walk in the room. I don't know why I have this stupid commercial in my head where they blindfold these beautiful ladies and this guy comes walking through with this cologne on. You know what I'm talking about? And they're like, oh, he's got my attention. Without being blindfolded, maybe when you walk in the room, people are like, whoa, I just felt the Lord. I felt Jesus. I felt something different. I noticed something different. Love entered the room. Kindness entered the room. A smile can change somebody's life. Being nice in a world where not too many people are nice, like, it just shocks people, doesn't it? Radiate his grace. This is like the final words of the second letter of his final message to the church. And what does he end it with? Radiate grace. Just pour out the grace that has been poured in you, pour it out to others. And notice how Peter pairs growth in grace with growth in knowledge. He puts the two together. You can't lead where you refuse to go. You got to learn stuff, right? It's impossible to teach what you haven't learned, and you can't radiate what you haven't experienced. The words that come out of your mouth, the level of self-control that you function with, the advice that you give others, your attitude, your demeanor, all of it is filtered through what you know. That which you've learned about Christ. Knowledge and grace go hand in hand. That's the point. And we give him glory in everything, Peter says. To him be glory both now and forever. When your life flows with his grace, others are drawn to the glory of God. Not to your personality, not to your gifts, not to your accomplishments. They're drawn to the Lord. Radiating grace isn't about you looking good, it's about Jesus shining through you. Amen? I want you to think about Wi-Fi signal. How many know what that is? One of those things that can annoy us once in a while. You know, 30 years ago, Wi-Fi wasn't even a thing. Probably 20 years ago, it wasn't a thing. And now, if we don't have good Wi-Fi, we're ticked off. Where's the free Wi-Fi? It's so crazy how we are. Think about the Wi-Fi signal in your house for a second. You can't see it, can you? Except you can see its level on your phone, but you can't really see the Wi-Fi signal itself. But you know it's there because it connects all your devices together, your phone, your tablet, your computer, your laptop, your television, and some of you are using Wi-Fi right now to turn on your own oven so that your lunch will be ready when you get home. There's people in here who have their Wi-Fi hooked up to their oven at home. I'm telling you, that's the truth. But the interesting thing about Wi-Fi, and most of you know this, the stronger the signal, the farther that signal reaches. Let's compare your life to that Wi-Fi signal that's in your house. When you're connected to Jesus, his grace flows through you. Sometimes you don't even notice it, but it's reaching people all around you. And the stronger your connection to him, be it through prayer, worship, or even obeying his word, the further his grace will radiate. It's like Wi-Fi. People are being impacted by Jesus through your life, even when you don't see it. And a life that radiates grace, it leaves a legacy. And it's a Christ-centered legacy. People may forget your words, your opinions, or even your accomplishments, but they won't forget that kindness, that forgiveness, that love of Christ that's radiated through you in all that you do. Church, if we're going to leave a legacy that matters, it won't be our legacy, I guarantee you. Ours will always fade. Ours is temporary, but the legacy of Christ, that's eternal. And when we reflect his purity, when we represent his truth, and we radiate his grace, we're leaving the kind of legacy that will outlive us, outshine us, and it points way beyond us. A legacy that reaches our kids and our grandkids and our neighbors and generations will, that we'll never meet personally on this earth because they're so far removed from us. That's leaving a legacy of Christ. I think my dad would be proud that not only his grandkids serve God, and I don't think there's one of them that doesn't. Doesn't mean they're perfect. They all serve Jesus. They all claim to know him. They're all in church. But even their kids now are in church. And I think, I'm not trying to put my dad on a pedestal. He was not a perfect man by any means, but he made right decisions. He made enough right decisions to affect generations after him. Even his great-grandkids now, they're young, but they're all in church because of his one decision. And I think about that sometimes in just life in general. Like, who are we really affecting? How long will our legacy live when we're gone? Faith legacy that points to Jesus. How long will that live? Will your grandkids serve God? Will your kids serve God? Will your grandkids? Will their kids, your great-grandkids, and even after that? Some of us in this room can point to a grandma or a great-grandma that prayed like crazy for her family. I've heard that story many times. I think of the family who lived 10 doors down, Kenwood, that started this church in their living room. They prayed that there'd be a church in Indianola like this. I wonder if they're smiling down from heaven. But they are. Leaving a legacy is something that's extremely important. How many want your faith to carry on? To your family, your kids? And I know that can be a struggle sometimes. I know we all have moments where we wonder if our kids are going to make it in the faith. And ultimately, it's all their own decision. But I'm telling you, better caught than taught. Show them. Show them. Don't tell them. Don't haul them to church and say, you listen to them in there while you go off somewhere else. Show them. Amen? That's how you leave a legacy. Let's pray. And when I'm done praying this morning, I want to just invite you to the altar. We're going to listen to a song after we're done praying. And it's very early yet. You got time for the altar. You might want to come alone. You might want to grab your spouse's hand. You might want to take your whole family forward and just pray together as a family. But Lord Jesus, right now, we just thank you that we get to be your ambassadors. And Lord, help us reflect you. Help us be that person, those people, God, that reflect your purity and that represent your truth accurately and that radiate your grace to everyone we come in contact with. God, we thank you for the series that we've been in, these letters from Peter. Powerful stuff. Straightforward, in your face, no fluff. Says it like it is. God, we receive all that. And we say, change us, mold us, make us into who you want us to be. We want to be like putty in your hands that's pliable and soft. And God, we just right now give you permission to change us into whoever you want us to be. And I need to ask one more question. Is there anyone in this room who's never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior? You've never really prayed a prayer that says, Lord, forgive me of my sins and help me to live for you and sit on the throne of my life and be my Savior, be my Lord. Is there anyone in here like that who's never made that decision before? Would you just slip up your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I'd like to make that decision today. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out. Won't call you forward. Anything like that. I just want to pray with you today. Anybody like that? Okay, there's one hand. You can put it back down. just don't want to let this go by because this is important stuff. To make a decision for Christ is to basically make your reservation in heaven. Because that's what it takes to go to heaven. You have to have a relationship with Jesus. You have to make him your Savior. Anybody else? Okay, let's all pray together for that one who raised their hand. And repeat after me, Lord Jesus, come into my life today. I want you to be my Lord, my Savior. Forgive me of all of my sin. Change me, mold me, and make me. I want to be yours completely. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for being a part of the Indianola First podcast. Join us next week to stay updated on our latest messages.